back to Dad.
Hello and welcome to the Talk Dad podcast, episode 140. Can you believe we've been doing this podcast for 140 weeks?
Yeah, it's the 10th episode milestone.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
That is kind of crazy.
In only 10 weeks, we'll have 150.
Got two boys here with me, William and Henry.
Hello.
How's it going, Will? How's it going, Henry?
Pretty good.
Pretty good.
Yeah. We are recording this 2 days from one of the most important holidays of the year, Valentine's Day.
Yes.
I would like to know you guys' thoughts on Valentine's Day.
Okay, you see, so you know how no one likes Valentine's Day? Well, you see, Valentine's Day used to be 3 days, but then, and February was actually 31 days, but then, or no, it was 30 days, but then they changed it to 1 day because no one liked it. And now February has 28 days.
Okay, Valentine's Day
is... I think that theory seems not to check out.
Okay, so Valentine's Day is really fun in elementary school. In middle school, it's hardly even a holiday. I guess they pass out those like anonymous candies that you can buy people, but other than that... And not I've heard rumors that in high school, Valentine's Day is really sad.
I like Valentine's Day a little bit better because you're not in elementary school anymore. You know why?
Why? You don't have to get a ton of candy.
Well, it's a little bit of work because you have to prepare that Valentine's box and you have to go buy the Valentine's and okay. You have to like maybe insert candy into an envelope.
Okay, Valentine's Day candy can be good though. I like Fun Dip mainly.
Yeah, it's fine. It's just a lot of work for mom and dad the day before the Valentine's Day.
I mean, no, just get a shoebox and write cool box on it.
I mean, it's much less work than like Thanksgiving or Halloween or Christmas.
Yeah, but there's very little payoff for us.
That's true.
That's true.
Does it mean anything to you boys that it's Valentine's Day?
Nope.
Not really. Sometimes I'll make like a... Well, I guess I can't really make a Valentine's Day themed scratch game this year because my next project would be a 100th project. I want to make that special. But so yeah, it means like nothing to me this year.
I mean, I'll probably get chocolate.
You could make like a scratch game where like Cupid is shooting people with arrows.
I can watch upperclassmen cry, I guess.
Yeah. Do you think people care?
About what?
About Valentine's Day.
About what?
I don't know.
And about the status of their love life on Valentine's Day.
I don't know. I remember one time I did actually have a pretty decent Valentine's Day in middle school. In 7th grade, like, we had a special Valentine's Day dinner. We just had, like, a heart-shaped pizza and, like, got balloons and Valentine's Day chocolates. And then I just went to you and mom's room to watch Valentine's Day cartoon specials.
What? I don't remember any Valentine's Day cartoon specials.
Well, they have
them like on the Cartoon Channel or something, Cartoon Network.
Yeah, they do them on Cartoon Network, and Studio C has been doing them lately.
Oh, yeah.
So watching TV and eating chocolates, that was what made it a good Valentine's Day.
Yeah, although Valentine's Day chocolates are kind of disappointing, too, which I guess like fits for Valentine's Day, but okay, like...
Don't think about the fact that you don't like some of them and just like eat them because they're chocolate.
Do you like the conversation hearts?
Those are fun.
They're actually really good.
They're pretty good, I guess. I mean, like, you don't really use them for anything. I think last year, Valentine's Day, I made like a little conversation heart simulator where like you press space to spawn a bunch of hearts. And like they'll say like no, or like you're cool, I guess, or maybe not, or like we should just be friends.
Yeah. So do you guys think that you will ever care about Valentine's Day? Do you think you will ever care about the status of your love life on Valentine's Day?
Maybe not really. I mean, I don't know what Valentine's Day is like in high school, but hopefully it'll be at least slightly better than middle school. Maybe something will happen.
It seems like when you get to the age where a boy or a girl is concerned about having a boyfriend or a girlfriend,
which is not really
sometimes. You're either concerned about still having a girlfriend or a boyfriend when Valentine's Day comes around, or you want to break up right before Valentine's Day so you don't have to have one.
Yeah, that's definitely not a concern for me in high school.
That's something you're worried about?
No.
What about you, Henry?
Nope.
Is this a concern of yours?
Nope.
Have you ever gotten a special Valentine from a girl?
No.
What about you, Henry?
Nope.
No. Like, you haven't even gotten one, like, when it's like a class Valentine and the girls are making Valentines for everybody in the class.
Valentine's, do they write
like a special message to you?
No.
Sometimes me and Phoebe will make each other like sibling Valentines. I think
you got one from your sister.
Yeah, I think a few years ago when the B movie was still a meme, I wrote "You Like Jazz" on one of them.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, there's actually like a piece of paper in Phoebe's room that says "You Like Jazz."
Is it still there?
It's like a quote from William. I think she made it. It's like in quotes, "You like jazz, William."
Did the one thing that I do kind of like about all those little Valentine's cards for kids are the really bad puns.
Yeah.
And you know why?
Why? Because puns are delightful. They're like...
Puns are delightful. They're like conversational candies.
Exactly. That seems appropriate. I haven't played that drop in a long time.
But yeah, it's been like a year.
Yeah.
Sometimes I just find this pun acceptable.
Yes. Ooh. Yes, yes. You know what had a whole bunch of puns?
The Lego Movie 2, the second part.
Exactly. So we watched that movie on Saturday. What'd you guys think of it?
It was really good. It was
great. I think it might have been better than the first one, in my opinion.
I disagree. So I had pretty low expectations for it because everyone's saying it was like okay, but not as good as the second one. Or not as good as the first one. I would probably give it like an 8 out of 10 though. It was really good.
It was good. I think that I would agree with you that it's not as good as the first one. But I think the reason why is because this one... I think it was more of a challenge. The first one, what makes the first one so good, without revealing any spoilers for someone who may not have seen a movie that came out like 4 years ago. But the thing that makes the original movie so great is, like, first of all, I think no one had any expectations for it all because it's a movie about plastic blocks.
Yeah.
But second of all, like, there's this meta story that you don't even know about until like 3/4 the way through the movie. And that reveal is like really kind of blows you away.
Yeah.
Like, you think it's just this movie about Legos, and then you realize, no, it's actually a story about X, about something else. This movie, I think the challenge is you already know that going into it. So they've got the meta story going on, but it can't be a surprise. They have to figure out a way to kind of integrate it into the story.
They did way more with it, though.
I think they still did good stuff with it. Okay, so I do have one major issue with it, and it's that, like, during the first half, there was, like, so much stuff going on that I just kind of, like, it kind of lost me. However, I will say, like, I think the animation and the jokes kind of helped me get through that.
Okay, it was pay attention to movies, though.
It was very dense.
I pay attention.
It kind of reminded me a little bit of, so in between the first movie and the second movie, they had Lego Batman. And Lego Batman was just full of pop culture references. This one, had more pop culture references than the first Lego movie. It had a whole bunch, and a lot of them were like really fast. And so like sometimes, and some of them were like about movies you'd never seen before. So I think if you watched it again, you would catch things maybe that you didn't get the first time around. There were a lot of Easter eggs.
Yeah. And they don't feel forced like a certain other movie. Bumblebee.
No, Bumblebee was.
Bumblebee forced. was just a lot of 80s references, I guess. Right.
Yeah.
I kind of feel I feel like the Lego movie franchise is a lot like. The new, like, animated Spider-Verse franchise. For one thing, they're, like, both involved, like, Christopher Miller and Phil Lord. But they're both, like, movies that, like, completely blew everyone away and kind of, like, subverted expectations.
Yeah.
I feel like, with Into the Spider-Verse, there will never be a movie that's quite as good as the first one.
I think I liked Into the Spider-Verse better than either one of the Lego movies. I do like the Lego movies, but Into the Spider-Verse, I think, was kind of a different thing. It doesn't really remind me that much of the Lego movies, which Lego movies are really entertaining.
Yeah. I still loved Lego Movie, though.
Yeah. The first one's really good, especially because of the twist and the meta story that you don't see coming.
Yeah. But, like, both are just, like, hilarious. There's a part in the Lego Movie 2 where they try to make, like, a song that the most, like, generic song ever to get stuck in your head. And they worked like so hard at it, and I was just like dying in the movie theater at that part.
I thought that I think the technical stuff in the movie, like the special effects and the animation, was actually better in the second movie.
Okay,
yeah. And I think that's just something like every year animated movies get better and better because the technology gets better.
And they were still really good in the first movie. Okay, it was it looked exactly like actual Legos. Like it looked like photorealistic. I remember actually after the first one came out, I remember debating with my friends over whether it was like actual stop motion or not.
Yeah, because not only does it look like Legos, but like the Legos have like a certain degree of wear on them, and they have a certain sheen on the surface of the Lego.
I mean, shows that. Yeah, there's certain shots where like I can't even tell if they're using real Legos or not.
Or like maybe a certain Lego would be kind of dirty or scuffed up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or okay, one part I really liked. In the Lego movie, in the second Lego movie, was they made a really funny joke about how painful stepping on a Lego is.
Yeah. Yeah, they made a couple jokes about that, and that was funny because we can all relate to it. One thing I think that maybe you boys, I think you appreciate it to some level, but you probably don't really appreciate that, like, when the first Pixar movies came out, like Toy Story, like, that was so much better than every other computer animated movie up to that point.
Well, yeah.
And now you look back at it and you're like, it doesn't really look that good because the technology's advanced so far. But when Pixar first started making movies, their movies were like head and shoulders above everybody else's. But in the meantime, kind of everybody has caught up. I think Pixar still does a lot of things really, really well. But lots of studios can do really good computer animation now.
Yeah, well, I saw a video that's kind of like a video essay by I Hate Everything, who said that...
it's a YouTube channel.
Yeah, who said that, like, in a video explaining why they didn't like live-action Disney remakes, saying that, like, cartoon Disney movies are very timeless, but, like, computer-animated ones can be dated pretty quickly.
Yeah, that's really true, and I think the live-action movies will always kind of... It's weird, because I think the live-action movies, in a way, will always kind of look like the year they came out.
Yeah,
whereas the hand-drawn animation like Snow White and Cinderella kind of look like it could last forever.
Okay, actually, well, first of all, I don't know why the new Lion King movie is being called live action when it's completely CGI. But second of all, I've seen this video of like a side-by-side comparison of the clips in the trailer to like the first scenes in the actual, like, original animated movie, and it looks, like, less good, like, way less good.
One part I really liked about it was, like, there was this part in, like, the first, like, 10 or 20 minutes of it, where, like, they assemble a Justice League, and they're saying, like, hey, where's Batman? And they say, like, oh, he's off on his own solo adventure.
Yeah, it referenced the Lego background
movie. Yeah,
I really liked that they did that.
The other thing I don't really care for when they do the live-action remakes of the cartoons is... It seems like they always feel like they have to add more to the plot, but it's not usually what's added isn't really good. Like, you know, it's like they try to give the characters these backstories and you're like, why not just tell the same story? Maybe they just feel like they have to tell it a little bit differently because they're retelling it.
Yeah. It's kind of sad that, like, I'm sure, like, with all its pop culture references, I'm sure the Lego movies probably won't age extremely well.
Yeah. But I thought that actually, you know, there were some of them that were like very, very current.
Yeah.
And that's probably true, but I don't know. Yeah. I mean, in a way, Shrek was like that. Like, it has a lot of, you know, references. No,
Shrek is
in
timeless.
It. But Shrek, I don't know, for your generation, Shrek is really important because it supplies all the memes.
No, I still, that's like, true. Unironically really enjoy Shrek, though.
Do you?
It's pretty good.
You like Shrek? Do you like Shrek, too?
Yeah.
How many, you know...
Shrek won an Oscar.
I heard they're making a reboot Shrek movie.
Yeah, by Illumination.
That
the creators of Minions and the Secret Life of Pets.
I mean, Secret Life of Pets was okay.
And speaking, the Grinch.
Speaking of live action Disney, have you guys seen the screenshots from the new Aladdin movie?
Yeah.
Oh no, I haven't, and I don't want to.
Will Smith.
So Will Smith is the genie, and there are these pictures of him, like, all basically painted blue. And it's kind of making people crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like glad Smith, I haven't seen that yet.
I feel like Will Smith had a pretty good track record and was pretty respected until he appeared in YouTube Rewind. And then, like, it all just went to crap.
And maybe it will be good, but it's just so weird to see Will Smith as a blue guy.
Yeah.
So both of you have told me that there's interesting stuff going on at school.
There is. I could probably tell like a million stories about school, but...
And I could probably tell you a super interesting and funny story about school.
Well, let's keep it to just a few stories.
Yes.
William, why don't you tell me some of the things that's going on in your high school?
So they're all pretty short, and so I have three short school stories. The first is someone commissioned me to draw dinosaurs for them. There's a... In my AP Human... table, for some reason, there's a girl at my table who kept on like asking everyone for if they had any toy dinosaurs. Because for some reason she's super into dinosaurs now. And she asked if I could draw her a dinosaur. Because she knows I like drawing. So I drew her a dinosaur and she said, like, can you just draw me a dinosaur like every day?
What kind of dinosaurs did you draw?
Just cartoony, just like kind of heads and like down to the shoulder.
Like T-Rexes or Brontosauruses?
They're all different types.
Just all different kinds of dinosaurs.
I think I did like a Brontosaurus, a T-Rex, a...
But they look like cartoon characters.
Yeah, they're cartoony. Yeah. That's... I can't really draw realistic animals. I can draw cartoony animals though. Yeah. But,
So are you drawing a new dinosaur every single day?
Not lately, but I had been for like a week.
So how much money are you making?
Is she your patron? How much does she pay you for these?
No, she doesn't pay me anything, but
what does she do for you? Just
nothing. She just says like thanks and she like sticks them in her binder cover. And now she'll like bring like a toy dinosaur to school. I don't know if someone gave it to her, but or if she bought it, but
she's just really into dinosaurs.
Yeah, I don't know why, but
it's just her thing.
Yeah.
Make a robotic dinosaur next.
That's a very charismatic classroom.
Mecha dinosaur.
The second story is there's been a kazoo trend going on at school.
A kazoo trend. How many kazoos does it take to make a kazoo trend? That sounds like a light bulb joke.
Well, there's just been a lot of people just bringing kazoos to school. So there's kind of different accounts of who actually started the trend. A kid in 10th grade in my outdoor education class, we're all friends with, said that he claimed to have started it because he brought kazoos to school early on. However, we think it's this one kind of infamous person in, we're all doing these, for GT Humanities, we're all doing these, like, presentations that are super fun. We had to prepare a certain type of art. Ours was orchestra, so we got to, like, make an orchestra piece and perform it in a lecture hall. Some people did, like, plays. Some people did, like, shadow puppets. But apparently in another class, this infamous kid who I'll just call Bob, like, handed out, apparently handed out kazoos to everyone at the beginning of his presentation. So some people, and then people like kept those kazoos and started bringing them to class. There's one person who brought like a giant kazoo to AP Human.
So what are people doing with the kazoos? Do they play them like in the hallways?
Yeah, they just play them. I don't know.
They put them in their mouth and their ears and their nose.
And they walk around and they just play making them. Kazoo noises.
Yeah, I really like it when there's like a trend that's like just at our school or like just at the couple of schools around us. Because then it's like our own special thing.
Yeah.
Like there's in seventh grade, there's like a Rubik's Cube trend where everyone brought Rubik's Cubes for school for a few months. In eighth grade, there was like a toy car trend where people...
Like Matchbox cars?
Yeah, where people would like bring like Hot Wheel cars and say like, it's not a toy car, it's a... And then they like name the type of car that it was and try to act cool. Okay, and then the third story, this one, I don't know if this one's the craziest, but there's a kid who actually has been like... a bit of a legend for a couple years now who goes by the nickname Slice and Dice. And basically, this is a kid who is like completely normal. Like, there's nothing abnormal about him until he got a YouTube channel. And then he gave himself the nickname Slice and Dice. And
so he gave himself like an internet persona.
Yes. And on his internet persona, he'll like do like toy reviews or whatever. He'll just like throw toys around and make like all these like squealing pig noises and screaming. And he'll, like, sometimes, like, walk up to people and say, like, slice and dice. And then he'd, like, do his signature slap and squeal where he'd slap his knee and squeal. he is weird. But he got... Okay, but the thing is, like, if he's trying to get attention, then he succeeds wildly. Because, like, I'd say about every week, sometimes I'll hear about slice and dice just from, like, random people. Like, I'll hear people talking about him. Sometimes I walk past someone who is like watching a slice and dice video on their phone.
So he's got a personal brand.
Yeah, sometimes he'll be by our lockers after school and like I saw one of my friends by our locker saying like, hey slice and dice, do your slap and squeal, and he would like slap and squeal and they'd be like, yeah. Some people got his autograph.
Do you think that his whole life people will know him as that, or do you think it'll just go away?
I'm guessing at some point he'll grow out of it, but
maybe.
Is he a freshman in high school also?
Yeah, kind of looks like a seventh grader, but yeah,
maybe. Do you think it'll keep up like through high school?
I don't know, maybe someday, like if he'll be like a famous like author, director, whatever, and he'll get fired because they found his slice and dice channel.
Is there anything offensive about it, or is it just weird?
No, it's just weird.
I mean, throwing a Woody doll around is kind of weird,
I have heard rumors that his first channel was taken down because of inappropriate content. But he'll make, like, stop-motion animation that's actually kind of impressive. We'll talk about the, like, controversy of our school on Twitter. Well, like, I don't know. It's just a whole bunch of slapping and squealing. And, like, sometimes I'll just, like, walk home. Like, I'll just, like, get stuff from my locker and then, like, walk home to the front of the school so I can be picked up. And I'll just, like, hear his, like, yelling and screaming just echoing throughout the second story.
And everybody knows it's him.
Yes.
Because it's very distinctive.
The thing is, like, I think he, like, embraces being, like, just a giant meme. There's some kids who will, like, get really frustrated or sad or whatever. But this kid, like, enjoys it. He'll just go all out. I mean, he has 300 subscribers, so...
I guess if that's, like, the thing you've committed to.
Yeah, he really commits.
So, Henry, you had a funny thing that happened in school the other day.
Okay, this was less of a trend and more of something amazing of everyone in 7th grade banding together to do something great.
Oh, I heard about this.
Yeah. At lunch last week, everyone in the 7th grade cafeteria helped pitch in for no specific reason to collect 98 oranges.
98 oranges.
Mm-hmm. At first there was someone who just like had like 10 oranges that people at his table weren't going to eat. Because like in the lunch line it's cheaper to get fruit than to not get fruit.
So people pick up an orange like from school lunch?
Yeah, from the school.
So it's not like an orange that they brought in their own home lunch.
Sometimes it is.
But most of them were from the school lunch.
Yeah, and then I walked by when they had like, when the main person who was like collecting all the oranges.
Which is a friend of yours, right?
Yeah. Had like, or it's actually two friends. One of them's in my science class, one of them's in my band class.
So two of your friends were collecting oranges from people in the cafeteria?
Yeah. Yeah, actually, first it was just from their table. Then I walked by and like some of the surrounding tables. Then I walked by and saw that they had a ton of oranges. And then I helped collect a couple of like oranges that weren't going to be eaten and also spread the word that there's like a tray of just oranges on it. And then.
Didn't a teacher like speak into the microphone
or
something?
No, not yet. And then like. Later, they collected, like, so much that they made, like, an entire pyramid of just oranges on the tray. And it was at that point that, well, first of all, I got a picture. That was at 78
when everyone started pitching in. Maybe we'll post a picture to Instagram and Twitter.
Yeah, but that was just 78. We're still 20 away from the finished goal. And at that point, a teacher, or maybe it was before that, a teacher asked how many there were, like, on a microphone since they're, like, teachers at lunch. And then everyone wanted to pitch in, and we were so close to getting 100, but we ended up with 98.
98? You were too shy of 100.
Yeah, and then at the end, someone... And then at 8th grade lunch, someone tried to do the same thing, but only got 3 oranges, so we beat them by 95.
I'm surprised the teachers actually helped with this. That doesn't sound like the teachers at
that
middle school.
Okay, they didn't donate any. They just asked how many there were and took a picture when there was 98.
Yeah.
So they like really donate it to help the effort, right? They just...
It might go in the yearbook. Who knows?
Did they like donate it to Africa or anything?
Actually, I'm about to get to that. At the end of lunch, the person who's in my band class put all of them in like a bag that he had. And... Apparently, he says that when he got home, he ate a couple of oranges and then gave the rest to a local food bank.
That's pretty cool, actually.
It is pretty cool. I'm going to give him a little round of applause.
Yeah, I remember sometimes when I went to that middle school, sometimes people would like try to collect like people's like little personal pizza boxes to like create a tower of occasionally. Huh. But yeah, I think that this is like what our generation is about, like putting way too much effort into something completely pointless.
I think that kids have always been a little bit like that.
Okay, but this is the sort of thing that I don't think should happen again, because if it happened again, then it wouldn't be pointless.
Yeah, plus it's kind of just a one-off thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think just the community that you go to at school is very, like, very friendly, and, like, everyone's kind of friends with everyone, and very, like, charismatic and always making jokes. And it's just a really good community. So I think this kind of stuff happens a lot.
Yeah, that was pretty fun. So if you send me that picture, I'll try and tweet it out and put it on our Instagram.
Okay. Wait, the picture of the 98 oranges in a backpack or the picture of 78 oranges on a tray?
I like the one of the pyramid. But you can send me both pictures and we can tweet them both out.
Okay.
All right, let's do some news.
Now, your tomorrow morning's headlines tonight.
And today we have a special news correspondent. Mom has sat down at the table. Mom is here. She's going to give us a news story.
Is this on?
Yes, it is. Okay. She's got a special news story about a mom.
This is, it's a news story about a crazy mom. So you got to bring in the mom, the crazy mom, to give the news about the crazy mom. Mm. So this happened in Maryland. It was not me. This happened in Maryland at Towson University. Towson University police warn of a woman on the loose looking for a date for her son. Towson University police have asked students and staff to be on the lookout for a woman in her 50s wearing a multicolored scarf. She's looking for a date for her son.
Oh, no.
I know. I like that the police actually sent out a warning about this.
Yes, warning. Well, and I think they sent out the video footage, too, so that people would know who she was and be able to identify her.
I was going to say it would feel really bad for the son of this mom, but I feel like at this point he would just be like a local legend.
Maybe.
Like a local celebrity.
I wonder if she had any success at all. Or if, it doesn't sound like she was that successful. Students complained to officers that she approached them last week in two campus buildings, the Cook Library and Center for the Arts, showing them a picture on her cell phone and asking if they were interested in dating her son. It caused enough of a disturbance that police alerted students via an incident advisory that included a link to surveillance footage of the woman. They asked anyone with information about the woman or the incidents to contact university police and provided a number, which I won't share here. University officials said the woman isn't being sought for any criminal investigation, but simply to put the behavior to a stop.
So boys, when you go to college, how would you feel if your mom showed up on campus with a picture of you on their on her phone and approached girls and said, "Will you date my son?"
Look how cute.
I tell
he
her
is.
Stop.
I would date her son.
Do you guys know what a helicopter parent is?
What?
Do you guys know what a helicopter parent is?
Someone who's like always there, like and is lingering.
It's like a parent
hovering.
Hovering.
Yeah.
I was gonna say it's a parent is always riding a helicopter.
So it's like an expression for parents who are like super involved in their kids' lives. They're like the kind of parents who like go to a job interview with their child and like say good things about their child in the job interview.
Yeah.
So this is like the helicopter parent version of a dating life.
Well, she probably just doesn't want him to be lonely. Right?
So what do you think? Is this something mom should do when you go to college?
Wait, I have a theory.
Or should I just do that like in high school, when you're in high school, but not in college?
I have actually a theory, an unlikely theory, but a theory. What if she's not a helicopter parent and the son is just dating someone that she doesn't like?
It could
be. That could be.
That's a possibility. Just trying to get him to move on to someone else.
So she's trying to find nice girls at the Arts Center or the library at Towson University.
I think that still makes her a helicopter parent, though.
Probably.
Still
it's
a little bit too involved in her
son's
life.
But she accidentally figures out that her son's girlfriend might possibly maybe be a crime boss? Like,
she's a mafia girl? Maybe. Maybe that's it.
It's kind of a strange way to deal with that problem. Still.
Just find her a new date.
I mean, this mom must be like really desperate at this point. Kind of feel bad for the kid.
Maybe he put her up to it. Maybe he would like her to go find him a date.
Maybe the mafia girlfriend doesn't want to date her son anymore, but doesn't want to break up. So instead, is asking for a mafia favor from the son's mom.
That is a lot of speculation.
That's a lot of plot.
I think it's definitely
you're trying
true,
to pack
no
into
what.
This news story.
There's a lot going on here, a lot that we don't know.
Yeah.
I just think it's funny that the police put out an alert saying,
yes, a warning.
We don't think it's against the law, but we do want it to stop.
Please stop, lady.
Are complaining.
Just stop. I'm surprised that the sun didn't do it first.
So thanks, Mom, for the special news bulletin.
Anytime.
All right, I've got a story. This is from space.com. And the story is clarifying an earlier story that was put out by a British tabloid. A British tabloid had a story that an apocalypse asteroid was going to appear in the sky on Valentine's Day and could destroy the world.
I think I didn't hear about that.
A doomsday asteroid. The English tabloid story had the headline, NASA warn apocalypse asteroid Bennu will appear in the sky this Valentine's Day. Space.com kind of debunks this story, and they give the actual report that was issued by NASA. And here's what it said. Asteroid experts at the Center of Near-Earth Object Studies at NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena, California, project that Bennu will come close enough to the Earth over the next century to pose a 1 in 2,700 chance of impacting it between 2175 and 2196. Put another way, those odds mean that there's a 99.963% chance that the asteroid will miss the Earth. Even so, astronomers want to know exactly where Bennu is located at all time. This asteroid, is about 500 meters wide or 1,640 feet. They say if it did hit the Earth, it would not be apocalyptic. It would be devastating on a local scale. But scientists say that the asteroid would need to be about 1 kilometer wide, or about 0.6 miles wide, about twice the size of Bennu, to cause a global catastrophe. So it would have to be a lot bigger, and the chances that it's actually going to hit the Earth, it's not going to hit the Earth this time. There's a very, very small chance, a 1 in 2,700 chance of it impacting the Earth 100 years from now. So I guess it's one of those asteroids that keeps rotating, you know, around the solar system, and every so often it comes close to Earth. But it is something that will come close to Earth, and they say that on Valentine's Day you may be able to see it.
That would be cool.
So if you look up and you see the planet Mars, which should be fairly bright that night, it's about, if you put your fist up, it'll be about a fist's distance away. But you will probably need some kind of telescope or binoculars to see it.
Can you imagine if it got really close to Earth, though, so you could actually, like, see, like, the asteroid as more than just, like, a little speck?
Yeah.
That would be really cool.
Yeah, it would.
Yeah, they say it's too faint to see without a telescope. So I guess you'd actually need a telescope to see it.
It'd be really hard to get with a telescope, though, because, like, you have to get it, like, just the right time. And, like, yeah, you could just zoom by and you can miss it.
Well, asteroids stay up in the sky for a while. It's not like they just... If it becomes, if it becomes, what do they call it, a smaller one?
A meteorite?
If it becomes a meteorite, then it'll enter the Earth's atmosphere and burn out. But the asteroid itself will be up in the sky for a while.
That's interesting.
There's going to be an expedition. A spacecraft is going to try and take a sample of the asteroid. Something called the OSIRIS-REx is scheduled to snag a sample of Bennu material in mid-2020s. And if all goes according to plan, the stuff will come down to the Earth in a special return capsule on September of 2023. Scientists around the world will then sift through the dirt and rubble, hunting for clues about the solar system's early days and the role that the carbon-rich asteroids like Bennu may have played in delivering life's building blocks to Earth. So, probably the world will not be destroyed by a doomsday asteroid on Valentine's Day, and that is a story about science! All right, who wants to read their story next?
I will.
Okay.
Wildlife Center will name salmon for your ex, feed it to a bear.
So last year, I think we did a story about a zoo that would allow you to name a cockroach after your ex, like your ex-girlfriend or your ex-boyfriend. This year, someone has come up with a new one. I think that zoo is doing the same thing this year, But I like this one. This one makes me laugh.
I want to know how many people will actually buy this, because I'm sure there will be a lot of people that will actually do this. It says, an Oregon Wildlife Center is offering a fresh twist on Valentine's Day naming promotions, allowing patrons to name a salmon after their ex and have it fed to a bear.
That's really funny.
The Wildlife Images Rehabilitation Center in Oregon said the catch and release promotion offers a unique Valentine's Day gift in exchange for a $20 donation. I think I just donate the money and just not care about that.
Well, I think it's a good way to motivate some people.
Yeah, I guess it's good that...
You know what I want to do? I want to name a dead fish after my ex and have it fed to a bear and have its guts ripped out by the bear's claws and teeth.
Yep. Okay, but like, if you like name a star after like your spouse or whatever...
Well, you do that like, for someone that you still like. This is for someone that you don't like anymore.
Yeah, but like if you name a star, at least it's actually permanent. This is just a fish that like... I mean, you could put a name on anything, but if you put a name on a fish, it means, like, nothing, and it's just going to get eaten, so, like...
But that's the point. You just want it to be like, ha-ha. I don't think those star-naming things are really legit anyway. Like, I don't think anyone else recognizes the authority of your named star.
Mm. Yeah. It says the center said patrons can pay to have a salmon named after an ex-lover, and the salmon will then be served to brown bears Cody... And Yaki?
Yeah, those are the names of the bears.
Wildlife Images said the $20 package includes a special certificate and photos of the bear eating the salmon.
That is pretty funny. And then you can, like, send it to all of your friends and go, hey, look at this picture of Stephanie getting her head torn off by a bear.
I could send it to your ex.
Yeah. Hey, I named this fish after you. I fed you a bear. And these people put to a bear and gave us a certificate.
I think it's pretty funny. It's a funny promotion. I think that's the best one I've heard so far.
I wonder, like, what other stuff you could do like this. Like, I don't know. You could... I'm trying to think of, like, other ways that you could, like, name your ex something and just, like, have it be, like, completely destroyed or whatever.
Like, you could write your ex's name on a piece of paper and then throw it in a fire?
Yeah, I suppose you could do
that's like a burnt offering, though.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah. That's like if you want to like get back with your ex. No.
You could like make a voodoo doll of your ex and throw it in a fire.
I think Phoebe used to take like her class notes from classes she didn't like and burn them at the end of the year.
Or no, she should have named her like a fish AP Physics and then have it fed.
You could like name like the villain in a TV show. Yeah. Like after your ex.
Somebody you don't like. Name it Thanos.
Yeah, what if Thanos is actually just someone's ex-girlfriend? That must be really ticked off by now.
Yeah.
Especially after all the memes.
All right, Henry. Henry's got a story also about... Science! Except Henry's story is kind of scary.
Yeah, and also this time it's not about Valentine's Day. Like all the other articles. More than 40% of insect species declining could have catastrophic results, study says.
Yeah. So 40% of all the insect species out there are declining in population.
And it could be catastrophic. The study published in the April edition of the peer-reviewed journal Biological Conservation said dung beetles, butterflies, moths, bees, and wasps are among those species that appear to be the most affected. The study cites habitat loss due to intensive agriculture and urbanization, pollution, and climate change as key reasons for the rapid declines.
Yeah. So what else do they tell us about the reason that there are less insects now than there used to be?
The study said more than 60% of dung beetles in the Mediterranean countries are in decline, while 1/6 species of bees have gone regionally extinct.
So they've been talking about colony collapse for a long time. Have you guys heard about that?
Yeah.
That there seem to be many fewer bees than there used to be.
Yeah. And
maybe environmental changes?
Yeah, that's what you're saying. Like agriculture and pollution might be parts of it. I don't think they know exactly why.
Climate change.
But it's a little disturbing because, and I think they talk about in that article, like insects are a really important part of the ecosystem.
Yeah, it says here that most organisms actually rely on bugs as part of their food web or food chain. Actually, that's something we're learning about in science right now. But and if since most birds eat insects and a lot of other things eat insects, like if you took out like half the insects, then it would basically collapse the entire thing.
Yeah, because birds eat them and other animals eat bugs and then the other animals eat those animals. Also, like plants are pollinated by insects a lot of times. So they rely on insects, either wasps or bees or other insects to pollinate. And if they're not getting pollinated, then they don't grow and propagate.
There's a plot line in season 4 of Doctor Who about disappearing bees. But then the explanation for it in the finale is that they're just aliens.
Yeah. This actually kind of worries me, though. It kind of makes me nervous because William and I were studying the other day about, like, for your biology class.
Oh, yeah.
And in the history of the Earth, there have been, like, five great extinction events.
Yeah, and there was only one, like, insect extinction.
Yeah, one of them involved, like, suddenly the insect population, like, fell really quickly. So does this mean we're on the verge of, like, an extinction event? It's a little worrisome.
I would say so. If there's
something, if you feel like you need something else to worry about, think about all these insects.
I would say it would have to do with human interactions, and like I like honey, so I think that's important too.
I like bee movie memes, so that's important too.
Yeah,
but you think about like sometimes insects seem annoying, but they're really important to the environment.
Yeah,
like
throw away your splice wires and pesticides. It says here that like bugs will help us like. Okay, bugs will help us, like, in our understanding of certain, like, scientific things. And also, most things that bugs help, like, will help us produce, like, medicines.
Bees are actually really smart. They can, like, understand colors, and they'll, like, do certain, like, moves to communicate with each other. They actually, I read that they actually understand that the world is round, the way they travel, and the way they know things.
Yeah, that's really interesting.
I find it interesting they can actually recognize multiple colors. Like, they're not just completely colorblind.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, maybe we need to do something to look out for those insects. I don't know what we do about it. It seems like it's sort of out of our control. Maybe not. Maybe we can do some stuff around, like, agricultural, you know, practices and pollution. But it is worrisome that certain types of insects seem to be disappearing.
Yeah, I always think that, like, bees and termites and ants are always really interesting, like, bugs that have their own colonies, because it's like, oh, cool, they have their own, like, mini-society.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's do... A couple of podcasts ago, we did some games with our Amazon Echo, and I thought we'd try that again. Alexa, play Tasty Trivia.
Welcome to Tasty Trivia. I will ask you 5 questions. Try to get as many right as you can. Just say the number of the answer. Let's begin. Question 1. What popular soda beverage was originally developed as a mixer for whiskey? 1. Mountain Dew. 2. Coca-Cola. 3. Root beer. 4. Tonic water.
3.
That answer is wrong. The correct answer is 1. Mountain Dew. Your score is 0. Question 2. The cooking technique that involves submerging food in a liquid at a relatively low temperature is called what? 1. Boiling. 2. Washing. 3. Braising. 4. Poaching.
3.
That answer is wrong. The correct answer is 4. Poaching. Your score is 0. Question 3. Where does the word bistro come from? 1. It's French slang for informal. 2. It means quick in Russian, and was used by soldiers during the Napoleonic Wars demanding their food. 3. It originated in Belgium where traditional fried potatoes dish called bis are served. 4. It's the name of the red and white check pattern usually found on tablecloths.
2.
That answer is correct. Yeah. Your score is 1.
That's what I thought.
Question 4. Which liquor is made from the blue agave plant? 1. Whiskey. 2. Tequila. 3. Gin. 4. Vodka.
2.
That answer is correct.
Ah, I knew that
Your score is 2. Question 5. What is a robota? 1. A fancy cooking timer. 2. A kind of Japanese charcoal grill. 3. A very speedy mixer. 4. A device for extracting juices.
2.
That answer is correct. You got 3 out of 5 questions correct. Yay. Thank you for playing.
What?
All right. All right, so Tasty Trivia, we got 3 out of 5. That's not too bad.
Yeah.
What'd you think?
That's pretty fun.
That one was okay.
That's a little short. But
that's a little short. I like it when they do the multiplayer ones where they keep track of player 1, player 2, and player 3.
Are there ones where like, you can control whether it's single player or multiplayer?
Yeah, there are. That was not one of them, though, apparently. What else? We're going to do categories. Okay. Alexa, play categories.
Howdy. You're playing categories game. Say help me, start playing, or get extra categories.
Start playing.
I rolled the letter V. This letter is harder than 88% of all letters.
Oh boy.
First category is actor. Say the category name followed by your answer. For example, actor, Amy Schumer. Your letter is V.
Actor, Ving Rhames.
Ving Rhames is correct. Mazel tov. Could you think of a food in this letter? You can also say I need a hint, skip category, or repeat category. Only 6 seconds left.
Food, venison.
Venison is correct. Booyah! Next category is TV series. You can also say, I don't know, I need a hint, or change the letter. Only 6 seconds left.
TV series, Voltron.
Voltron is correct. Ooh la la! Could you think of a country in this letter?
Country, Venezuela.
Venezuela is correct.
I can say Vatican City.
Good one. Next up is animal with the letter V.
Animal viper.
Viper is correct. Swish. Now think about movie.
Movie V for Vendetta.
Vendetta.
V for Vendetta is correct. Very good. Time for category of the week.
Yay!
Category is NFL with the letter V. You can also say skip category, I need a hint, or repeat category. Only 6 seconds left.
NFL Vikings.
Nice.
No!
That was a good answer. I think that was the last category. And you did well.
Do we keep this up?
All right. Should we try a different game?
Yeah,
sure.
Just for fun. Less turns off every 5 seconds.
I think we did pretty well in that categories game. Let's try one more. Let's try the animal sounds game, because I think it might be funny. Okay. All right. Alexa, play animal sounds.
Say.
Hi. Welcome to Animal Sounds. What kind of animal would you like to hear?
Oh, that's not.
I'm not sure about that one.
Alexa, play animal sounds game.
I'm not sure about that one.
Alexa, stop.
Okay, see you next time.
Alexa, let's play Animal Sounds game.
Welcome to the Animal Sound game. We can start a quiz where I play an animal noise, and you answer with what animal made the noise. To find out how, say help.
Let's play.
You can start a quiz by saying start a quiz.
Start a quiz.
I will play animal noises and you answer with the animal that made the noise. What would you like to do?
Start a quiz.
Okay. I will play 5 animal noises and you can answer with the animal. Here is your first question. What animal makes this sound?
Moose.
Uh-oh. The type of animal that makes that noise is a sheep. Your current score is 0 out of 1. Here is your second question. What animal makes this sound?
Moose.
Ruh-roh.
The type of animal that makes that noise is a bear. Your current score is 0 out of 2.
Sound like a
Here is your third question. What animal makes this sound?
Bird.
Hip hip hooray!
That is correct.
That was easy.
Your current score is 1 out of 3. Here is your fourth question. What animal makes this sound?
Cat.
Cha-ching. That is correct. Your current score is 2 out of 4. Here is your fifth question. What animal makes this sound?
Turkey.
Bravo. Huh. That is correct. Your final score is 3 out of 5. Thank you for playing the animal sounds game. Let's play again soon.
What did you think of the animal sounds game? We got 3 out of 5 on that one.
That's pretty fun. That's kind of hard, though.
All right. There's just one last thing to do on the podcast, and that is...
Three words for you. Treat yourself.
Treat yourself. Treat yourself.
So for treat yourself, we have some, in light of the fact that it is Valentine's Day today, and we've talked about Valentine's in almost every segment, we have some Valentine special edition flavored candies.
Mm. Oh, boy. Red velvet. Looks
we
good.
Have some red velvet flavor Kit Kats. Some Hershey's hearts filled Ooh. With strawberry cream.
Ooh. I think I've had that before.
Red things.
Maybe I haven't, I don't know.
And we have some lava cake kisses.
These all sound really good.
Yeah. They all sound pretty good.
I mean, Hershey's sometimes is good at making
and treat yourself
chocolate.
Stuff sounds good and ends up not being that good.
But it's Hershey's.
Hershey's is trustworthy, though.
What do you guys want to try first?
Kit Kats,
yeah. Because it's all the right. less...
Those red velvet flavor Kit Kats. These are white chocolate with red velvet flavor in them.
Kit Kats have the least strong flavor, so that it won't linger in our mouth.
I'm going to pass them around, and I am going to mute the mics so we don't chew into the mic, and let's try them and let the podcast know what we think of them. All right, what do you think of the Kit Kat red velvet flavor?
Pretty much exactly what you'd expect. Yeah, I can't not rate that delicious. It's just really good candy.
Yum, 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 yum. Delicioso.
I actually really like this flavor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not big on a lot of the white chocolate ones, but this one is really tasty.
Mm-hmm. This one's really good.
And I'm not even a huge red velvet fan, but this is a tasty flavor. I like it a lot.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes...
If you see the Kit Kat red velvet flavor in the store, and by the time we're on this podcast... They'll probably be on clearance because it'll be after Valentine's Day.
Yeah, I'd recommend eating.
I like these.
I'd recommend trying these. Sometimes on the podcast, I'll just like eat candy and I'll be like, that is candy. And like, I can't not rate it delicious. I think this is actually particularly good.
This one's really good. I think I like it better than regular Kit Kats, which is saying something because I like Kit Kats.
Yeah, Kit Kats are good.
All right, we have Hershey's Hearts with strawberry cream. Filling, and we have lava cake kisses. Which one do you want to try the next?
I'm really excited about these. The filling.
Filling.
The hearts with strawberry cream filling.
Yes.
Yep.
All right.
I've had a heart Hershey's candy that I think is like some sort of berry flavored before. I don't know if it was these or not, though.
These are like filled. I haven't had these before. I don't think I've had these, actually.
I've had like the heart Hershey's chocolate, though. I really like chocolate Hershey's.
They smell good. I'm going to pass them around.
I'm excited. Mm. I haven't had the filled ones before.
I love unwrapping Hershey candy.
Yeah.
All right, what do we think of the Hershey's hearts with strawberry cream filling?
That's delicious. Really good. I feel like I've had something like that before.
Yum, 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 yum. It's delicious. Delicioso.
I'm actually going to say that it's just okay. Strawberry flavor is a little weird and artificial tasting to me. And Hershey's chocolate, I don't think is that great.
I think Hershey's chocolate's good. That
maybe part of it is because the Kit Kats were really good.
It says it's strawberry flavor. Okay. It says it's strawberry flavor, but it's the type of strawberry flavor that tastes really similar to raspberry flavor, which I really like with chocolate. So that's a solid delicious.
All right.
They're also super icky sweet, which I guess is understandable because it's candy. But
it's good.
I don't know if I could eat very many of these.
I have super high expectations for this one now.
And the last one is lava cake Hershey
Wait,
Kisses.
Wait, what's lava cake?
Lava cake is like sometimes you get like in restaurants. It's like this little cake, and when you cut into it, I used to make it at home sometimes, but you cut into it and like the stuff in the middle kind of oozes out of it. It's like a little chocolate cake.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Chocolate lava cake. All right.
I bet this will be good.
Yeah. Let's try it out. What do you think?
I'll give that an okay. I swear it just tastes like normal. I swear it just tastes like a normal Hershey's Kiss to me.
Mm. I'm like going to give it a delicious.
Yum, 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 yum. Delicioso.
It's got a really kind of fudgy chocolate.
Yeah.
Chocolate cake taste to me.
Yeah, actually, I'll guess it does like taste different.
Delicious.
Yeah, actually, I gave Pretty it a fudgy. Low delicious.
I actually liked it. I thought it had a good flavor.
I didn't like the fudge too much, but it was pretty good.
So ranking them, I thought that the red velvet Kit Kats were the best.
Same.
The lava cake kisses were the second, and I thought the Hershey's hearts were the third for me.
I'll say red velvet first, Hershey's hearts close second, and kisses third. Although I like all of them.
Yeah, I agree with you, Will.
So pretty good, pretty strong showing for Valentine's Day for these different types of candy. I'd never tried any of these before. They're all pretty good, but I like the Kit Kats the best.
There's like two different types of Valentine's Day candy. There's like the like artificial fruit flavored candy stuff, like Fun Dip or whatever, and there's like the chocolate.
I'm gonna go out on a limb and say there's actually several kinds of Valentine's Day candies.
Well, those are kind of the two like genres mainly.
No, there's also the conversation hearts. Those are a big player.
Oh, yeah, but those aren't like good. A genre of Valentine's Day candy.
I don't know what you mean by genre.
Well, I mean, like, there's kind of two different types,
there's something people eat at Valentine's Day.
They're one of them, but, like, there's kind of different types. Like, there's one that's, like all the artificial fruit, like, Fun Dip or whatever. And one that's, like, chocolate and sometimes chocolate and fruit.
Hmm. Yeah.
Conversation hearts are just kind of their own, like, one individual thing.
Yeah, they're in the same category as Fun Dip.
Yeah, and I like them both, so. Yeah. I really like Valentine's Day candy.
So that is Treat Yourself, and that is our podcast. Thanks, boys, for being on the podcast with me.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone who's listening. If you are listening, let us know. You can tweet us at TTD Podcast on Twitter. You can find us on Talk to Deb Podcast at Instagram and Facebook and at TalkToDebPodcast.com.
And check out our Twitter if you want to see 78 oranges on a tray.
Yeah, we'll try to get those pictures of the oranges out about the same time this podcast gets posted. You can email us at talktodebpodcast@gmail.com. And if you want to help us out, there are a couple of things you can do. One, you can tell a friend about the podcast. If you enjoy it, they may enjoy it as well. And the other thing is you can give us a 5-star rating wherever you find your podcast. So if you subscribe, rate, and review us, that helps us get a little bit more exposure and maybe someone else will find out about the podcast. We're only doing this for fun, but it's fun to interact with other people and maybe get a little bit of an audience. So we would appreciate that. This has been a lot of fun, and we will see you later. There's time for later. I regret-